Okay, so we're going to talk about this amazing journey you had from like about 1,000 Facebook likes to breaking the 1 million like mark in 8 months, right?
Yeah, I think I'm not sure exactly. I think I had like 103 likes back in August.
Wow.
And right now, as of today, I think I'm right at 1,070,000.
Well, I would guess that you didn't sleep at all, but you look pretty refreshed. No.
It all came around. I don't know if you want to ask me specific questions or if you want me to tell the story or what's your pleasure.
Just tell the story and then I'll obnoxiously interrupt with questions.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, so it really came about as a result of a desire to create content on a regular basis. And creating content for me has been a pretty big challenge because I don't like to be harnessed into a regular time slot of doing pretty much anything.
Okay.
So, I don't even like appointments. I like it much better when people are just like, you know, they text and it all works out and the planets align. You can't do that all the time, but I just really don't like having to be on a schedule. So the idea when I set up podcasting things in the dark little corner of my home where there was a desk and a computer and a camera and equipment, and I was going to record this podcast and it's going to be amazing. And then I didn't do it. And then I did it again and I didn't do it. And then I did it again and I didn't do it. And all three times I gave away all the equipment because everything was outdated by the time I got around to looking at it. And, you know, where I'd sit down at it and I'd be like, okay, I'm going to do my recording. And it'd be like, OBS doesn't connect with blah, blah, blah. And you're having a problem updating the drivers for X episode. Oh man, too much hassle, too much friction. So I was trying to figure out how to create content on a regular basis for some programs that I do want to create. And I do like sharing things with people. So I just happened to be sitting at breakfast at a restaurant that you're probably familiar with, Rancho Valencia, here in Rancho Santa Fe.
Sure.
And with my business partner, Perry, and people from our War Room Mastermind. And we're talking about really cool things. And at the end of it, I was like, this was too good to not capture. So I just asked them, I said, hey, do you guys mind? I pulled out my iPhone. And I was like, do you guys mind if I just record a little summary of you explaining what we talked about? And we did it. And I think we shot 5 or 6 little videos that were 1 to 4 minutes in length. And I posted them up on Facebook and I got a really, really great reaction to it. And people were like, oh, that's super cool. Go ahead.
Cool.
So you're not interrupting obnoxiously. You have to go.
Well, no. The first question, when you recorded the videos, was it impromptu just with an iPhone? Or did you have like a little tripod or one of those gimbals to keep it steady? Or was it just shoot from the hip? Here's my
iPhone. Yeah, so I have had those gimbals and they are super cool because you can move them all around and they stay balanced. And I have had tripods, but all of that is friction for me. So I'm all about, like, I know I won't use them because ultimately I've seen me not do it. So it was, I can't find my iPhone now because I want to hold it up. But basically, I literally took my iPhone and said, I handed it to the other person and said, point this at me and count down 3, 2, 1. And then they were like, okay, 3, 2, 1. They hit it. And I was like, hey, this is Roland. I'm sitting here with Bob. And we're just having a great conversation. We were talking about how to get a whole bunch of likes on Facebook. And then I grabbed the camera and turned it around physically. And but people actually like the non-production fly on the wall feel of that because it made them feel like they're at the table. I've had a lot of people tell me that. And they're just listening in on the meeting. So no,
yeah, that's the cool part because, I mean, I know I've watched a number of them, and that's the sense you get that, hey, I'm here live with these guys. I'm part of the inner circle. I'm hearing the real behind-the-scenes stuff, and it's very live and natural and raw in that sense.
And it's conversational, so you feel like you're part of the conversation because it literally is a conversation. But what I didn't realize that I was doing that was really awesome, and I'd love to say that I thought about this and brilliantly orchestrated it this way, but it was a total accident, is that by not recording the entire conversation, and only after the meeting doing the takeaways, I don't need to edit. So there's not like all this dead, boring conversation, and there's only the good stuff. So it's like you came to the meeting after and sat down and said, what'd you guys talk about that was cool, right? So that's been really cool. And so I don't have to edit anything. So I literally get done shooting those quick, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 videos from after the meeting. And then I have good stuff and I post it immediately, and it's super easy. And so like content wise, I'll do that anytime you have a meeting, you can do that. Just basically on my iPhone, I take notes and I'll just say, like I just had a conversation with Mars Burden. I don't know if you know him or not, but
yeah, I know Mars.
Yeah. So super cool guy, right? I bumped into him at Vince Reed was having an event up in Newport Beach this weekend. I was speaking at, and Mars happened to be there at a different mastermind and said, "Hey, we're in the same hotel. Let's get together." So I was like, cool. And we sat down and we're brainstorming some ideas about his business. And then he mentioned something while we were talking, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, it's like the glowing blue key in a video game. That's like a fantasy game, and you know, it glows blue so that you pick it up. And if you didn't pick it up when you get to level 75, and you need to open the, you know, the lion's door, but you don't have the key that you picked up on level 1, then you're screwed." Yeah. And it just led us to a conversation. And so then at the end, I just said, you know, "Hey, that was really cool about the blue key." So I just on my iPhone wrote blue key, right? Yeah. Glowing blue key. And then I could go back at the end of the conversation, and that would jog my memory as to one of the cool things that we talked about. We shot a couple of videos and, you know, just post them up really, really easy. So the three kinds of things that I've found seem to be interesting to people is takeaways from the meetings that you've got.
Okay.
Any travel that you do, I have a strategy for upgrading to really nice rooms. So I frequently get the presidential suite or whatever at a hotel I stay, or at least a nice suite. And so I just shoot a walkthrough of the room, and people love that. And they comment, you know, "I don't know why I like these videos, but I can't help myself but watching them."
Yeah.
And then the other one is, because I just think people like to see travel type stuff. So anything that's from a room walkthrough to when I went on safari, I took, you know, pictures of lions and stuff like that, and videos, and all with my iPhone, no editing ever, ever, ever. And then at events, I'll shoot, you know, stage footage or mastermind footage or stuff like that when somebody starts talking about something interesting. Those three things alone, I've got, I don't know, maybe 600 or 700 videos that I've shot over the last 8 months. And now I'm taking all those and stitching them together and making podcasts out of them. So it's like, as far as the ability to create content without having to do any research, without having to do any planning, without having to do any production, any sitting down, anything that would stop you from actually doing it, that I have found works like magic for me.
That's great. So is there, I mean, I know it's informal and you want to keep it informal, but do you have a general rule of thumb for length?
Yeah, I want it to be, I'll literally stop it mid-sentence and pick back up if it goes longer than about 4.5 minutes. Okay. You really want them, I think the sweet spot is between 1 and 3 minutes.
Okay, great. So then once you have them, what's the process of getting all those likes? Are you just posting them up to your page?
Yeah, so the evolution was I did those first couple of videos and I posted them on my personal account, and I got, for me to get 100 likes on my personal account, it's pretty good. I've got like, you know, 2,500, 3,000 friends. So that's pretty good, but you don't get much reach. And so I was like, "Oh, I'd really like to pay. I'm happy to pay a little bit of money to Zuck to, you know, to give me a little bit more reach." But then I found out you used to be able to do what they call boosts, which is just an ad for your post.
Right.
You used to be able to do that on your personal page. You can't do that anymore. Now you have to do that on an actual page, like a fan page or business page.
Right.
So I was like, "Oh, okay, well, I want to get more reach, so I guess what I have to do is go over to this personal page that I built." And then I was like, wow, it's got like almost no likes at all, but I just am going to start posting stuff there. So I started posting stuff there and then sharing that back to my regular page. and trying to move my friends over. And then you can click, there's a little invite friends option, and you can click on that. So I just every day did 100 friends and invited 100 of the friends that were over on the personal to the paid. And I think I've got about right at 1,000 of my 3,000-ish friends that are on my personal page also are on my business page. So that was one way. And then I started doing these boosts, so these little ads, which is, by the way, the right way to do this is that you go into the Power Editor and you set up 100 ad sets and you have 100 split tests and 3 ads under each of the 100 ad sets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And well, I know I'm never going to do that, right?
I was going to say, it sounds like that isn't something that fits into your universe.
Right, right. Shockingly, I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to pay an agency, which seems like all the good ones start around $3,000 or $4,000 a month plus 15% of ad spend. I was like, I'm not going to pay that for that because it just doesn't, for me, I just don't see the value there. So not that agencies aren't great. We use them. It's just like for building your personal brand when you don't want to spend a whole lot of money, that's the way to not spend money. So what I did was I did the least efficient, most stupid, horrible, wasteful, dumb thing that you can possibly do, which is do the boost. And so if you click promote, there's a little promote button you can click, and then you get to choose an audience. So I targeted my audience. I used, depending on what the subject matter of the video was, I had between 11 and like 86 different interests that I target. So I'd target job descriptions and other things that they like, and like other pages that were similar people to me. Yeah. And that's really easy to do because you just do it one time and save the audience. Right. So I've got 12 different audiences that range from 11 to like 86 different interests. That way the only people who are going to get to see it are people who are actually interested in that kind of stuff. I think a lot of people try to do a really broad target just hoping for likes, and then I don't know what your likes are really worth because they're just random people.
Right.
And then geographically, I targeted the areas that I do business in or that I want to do business in. So I targeted all English speakers only. Mm-hmm. And then I targeted the United States, Ireland, the UK, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the United States, if I didn't say those, and the Philippines and India. And I targeted the Philippines and India because we have offices in the Philippines, and because I believe that I know because I've seen other friends of mine do events in the Philippines and India and have great success in generating income for them. So the Philippines and India are two places that I want to build my brand. So those 10 countries are the places that I targeted. And I'd say probably 80% of the likes that I get are from foreign countries and 20% are from the United States. But that's still, 220,000 or so people that I've got in the United States, plus the credibility of having 10,000 or 20,000 or 40,000 likes and 700 comments on one of my posts is pretty compelling for people in the United States that then see it.
Yeah, for anyone who sees it anywhere. So did you always boost a post, or were there some posts that you would put up that you wouldn't boost?
Yeah, only if I forgot. So I don't spend a lot of money. So basically, I'd spend on average, at least when I started, I was pretty consistent. I would do $10 a day for 5 days. Now sometimes I'll do $10 a day for 2 days or $10 a day for 3 days, depending on what I'm posting. Uh-huh. I think it's more interesting, I'll run it a little bit longer, but I don't really ever go more than 5 days, and I don't really ever go more than $10. And that I did for the first like 60 days. And I was averaging about 12,500 likes doing that. And yes. Then I saw
the sound split a second. You were averaging how many?
12,500 likes a week.
Wow. That's great.
So, I thought so too. And then I was like, I looked at the page one time and there's this little button that says promote page. And I was like, so you can promote your page too. That'd probably be smart since I ultimately want people to like the page more than I even want them to like the post. So I clicked the button and I started a $10 a day post promotion. I mean, page promotion in addition to the posts. And I almost immediately doubled to about 25,000 likes a week. Wow, when I did that. Goodness. So that was a big, you know, I could kind of promote the thing you want to promote. How about that?
So do you still promote both when you put up a new post? Okay.
Yep. Yep. So I pretty consistently, my most common thing that I do is I'll do those 10 countries with the larger number of interests, because I really want only people that are interested in business and the stuff I'm talking about. And then I'll do 5 days at $10 a day, plus the $10 a day page promotion.
And the great thing is, once you have those audiences targeted the way you mentioned it, and you do it at the most basic level, it's really, I mean, just a couple clicks a day to get the stuff promoted. It's not a big convoluted process. Like,
literally, I'll shoot, like if you and I were having this talk, when we're done, I would shoot those quick videos, which would take, let's say we shot 5 3-minute videos. That takes maybe 20 minutes to do. And then I get in my car and I'm basically going to go on my phone, and it'll take me about 5 minutes because the video is already on your phone.
Yeah.
So then I go to my Facebook page and write a little thing about what we talked about, choose that video, put the location in. I always say what emotion I'm feeling. So, you know, I'm feeling happy at Rancho Santa Fe, or, you know, excited or whatever. And then I'll hit post or schedule. If I have like 6 videos, I'll schedule them for the next, if I don't have many videos that week, I'll schedule them for the next 6 days. If I have lots and lots of stuff I'm doing, I'll schedule them every 2 or 3 hours, you know, the following day. And then that's native through Facebook, not through any other. And then you can click the boost button and choose the audience, choose the budget, choose the days, and you're done. It takes about 30 seconds per video to do that. So it's really no hassle. And just like if I said, hey, Bob, you should meet, I want you to meet Frank. I'm going to connect you to Frank. If I don't do that right now, if I don't stop and say, let me do it now because I'll forget, then I'll probably forget.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with these videos. It's like, as soon as I've got done, then I know right now in my head what we talked about. So I can write a post and say, Bob and I were talking about the glowing blue key, and it was super cool because blah, 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 blah. And that's in the video below. Check it out now, right? Do like calls of action, like check it out now. And then it's easy. So I don't have to go back and rewatch the video to remember what we talked about.
Yeah. Cool. So then once you had all these likes, or even when you were partially through, how did you start turning that into real business?
Yeah. So
I was going to use the word monetize, but I hate that word. Let's talk real world. How did it become actual business?
Yeah. So I didn't really care when I started, because all I cared about was that I could create content on a regular basis. Cause I know if I create content, I can use it in 100 different places. And I'm starting now to do that. I have lots of other things going on, so I didn't get to do it as quickly as I wanted, but we've got about 15 podcast episodes in the can now. And there's a podcast that's coming out that will really just be all of these video things that I've done before in video and audio form. Now that takes me with that same content to Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, et cetera. Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to create anything else. And I've just hired a gal that will post all the stuff up for me on Instagram, because I've tried, but man, the time it takes to do past what I'm doing now, it just becomes too much time. So like to do an Instagram story plus an Instagram live plus an Instagram post, you know, plus a Snapchat, et cetera, you need somebody to do that eventually. So
yeah. And it is a clerical task. So why spend any time doing it if someone else can do it for you?
Correct. So what I did was my first goal was just to create the content. I didn't care about any monetization. Then my goal was, because I was posting on Facebook, I was like, I could actually, you know, I added it out when I was doing the 25K likes a week. And I was like, yeah, probably get 1 million likes on this. So I was like, I want to get 1 million likes. But I didn't care again if it made any money, because I just wanted the credibility of the likes, because I was talking to some friends. You know Scott Duffy?
No, don't know.
Scott's a brand ambassador for Microsoft and a bunch of other people, and he was like telling me it's so important to these brands to see that you've got influence. And so I was like, okay, well, influence is good. If I've got a bunch of likes, people want to have me speak more and stuff like that. So that is money for me, because every time I speak, somebody comes up and talks to me, and I almost always end up sitting down and talking them into joining a $25,000 mastermind I've got or something like that. So if I didn't do anything else, the deals that I get from people who I meet through this and who I connect with, the hotel rooms that I get upgraded to ever so often when I post in the Four Seasons says, hey, we see you're staying at our hotel and you've got a bunch of fans, or the sushi that I get for free when the guy at the sushi place recognizes me and goes, I watch your videos. It's like, there are a lot of cool benefits that you don't think about.
Yeah.
All of those aside, I said, I actually want to figure out, can I make money from this? And so I decided that I wanted the easiest thing to do. A friend of mine, Ed O'Keefe, was doing these things that he called intensives, which is basically like a workshop for 2 days. And he'd get people come in and they'd pay, I think he was charging about five grand to have them come in. Mm-hmm. And at the intensives, he would offer them a more expensive consulting package. And then I saw a couple other people were doing it too. I talked to them, found out kind of how they were doing that. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to just put up a social post and say, hey, this is Roland. I'm doing this 2-day intensive where we're going to get together and roll up our sleeves for 2 days in Las Vegas. And we're going to talk about how to grow a business, how to scale a business, and how to exit it. And was basically it. And I say, if it's something that you're interested in, say I did everything, hell yeah, to Vegas or whatever, just comment Vegas or hell yeah below, all social. And I would message them the details of the event and a payment page. And I'd say how much it was. I charged $1,892 the first time. Some of them we charged $1,800. Some of them we charged $3,800. We kind of tested the points. They all seemed to sell about the same. I limited it to 15 people. And so basically people would come. And then I rented a room in Las Vegas at the Mandarin Oriental for $1,000 a day. And so for $2,000, I had basically 15 people who spent roughly $30,000 to be there come, and I put together 2 days of content. And for that, I just really went back. I didn't create much new content. I just went back and got my old presentations that I had saved to SlideShare and looked for the moments that people came to me and said, wow, that was amazing. So I just took my best content that I had, and then I wove it together in a 2-day event, and that became what I called the intensive. At the intensive, the people came in, and I did my best to give them tremendous breakthroughs and value for 2 days. And at lunch on the second day, I offered them a $100,000 or $120,000 advisory board to be where basically they'd be able to text whenever they wanted, kind of like a partner with no equity.
Right.
And if they didn't want that, then they joined our war room for $25,000 or $30,000, depending on when it was. And I sold 36.36% or 4 people the first time on the $100,000 thing, and 4 people on the $25,000 thing. The second time, I sold 36.36% people or 4 people on the $100,000 thing and 2 on the other one. And throughout the time, basically, it just seemed like there was always anywhere between 2 and 4 people that would sign up for the high-end thing and a couple of people that would sign up for the lower-end thing. And so I think over time we sold about close to $400,000 in tickets. I did 10 of them. I've done 10 of them so far. We did the last one last month. And it's about $400,000 in tickets, and then about $3 million in consulting and stuff like that. Wow. As of today, and a lot of that was on payment plans, so, you know, full disclosure. Collections, I think we've collected we collected 100% of the ticket sales, and then I think we've collected just over $1 million on the other sales, but we have payment plans on those that go for a whole year.
Wow, that's amazing. Hey, do you know Matt Stefanik?
God, that name sounds super familiar.
Okay, so let me, this may be a great thing for you to do with those million plus likes. What Matt does is he takes his people and he moves them into a Facebook group.
Yeah, that's super smart.
Your group would just, and what he's, but he's got this thing, when you put people into group, you're allowed to ask them questions.
Mm-hmm.
And he has three questions that set the stage for people wanting to work with you. But the brilliance of it is that the group just pretty much discusses among themselves different concepts that you've introduced in your interviews. So mm-hmm. they're kind of like your super followers.
Yeah, that's really smart.
And then when you come along and you want to do another one of your intensives, you hit the group up and say, hey, group, you know, I'm going to be doing this intensive, and before I let everybody else know about it, because you guys are so active, I want to give you the opportunity to get in. There's only 12 spots or 20 or whatever it is, or if it isn't limited, then you don't put that limit on. But it really, it just takes that engagement to the next level, and he told me that he just sells out like crazy when he
yeah.
something new.
That's really smart. I have not yet had a chance to play with that. That's definitely on my short list. I'm glad yeah. you mentioned
it. I've got a little interview I did with him, a little 10-minute interview where he lays the whole thing out. I'll shoot it over to you when we're
Oh, great. Thank you.
Sure. And if you want an intro to him, I'll introduce you to him too.
I would actually love that. He'd be a good war room speaker.
Yeah, real smart guy, really nice guy, and very generous in sharing the same way you are.
Where does he live?
I think it's a warm state. It's either Arizona or Florida. So that's,
right.
that puts it within proximity.
Fair enough.
Yeah, sure. I'll let you know.
That's great. Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and he's really he's big in the e-com space too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So yeah. So that's, I mean, that's really the whole thing. It started with just a desire to produce content, but here's what's cool is, so all that content that I produced, including the content from the intensives, now is available. The intensive now is available to use. The intensive becomes a course. The course I give away as a premium to other programs that I've got that are continuity. The interviews become Instagram stories and snaps and things like that.
Yeah.
They also get stitched together to go into Business Lunch, which is the title of the podcast that I'm launching.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got all of this content, which was my whole initial goal, that now is money makeable. Do you like that better than monetized?
Yeah.
Is money makeable in all these other different formats and exposes me to all these other channels. Like John, and John Reese is the guy that gave me he was just on me. He's like, dude, you're putting all this stuff up on Facebook and it's great, but it's just disappearing into the annals of Facebook. You
yeah.
need to do a podcast. And he's telling me about his podcast. He said, I just do. And he's actually the guy that really helped me understand how to use podcasts better, because he said, I can't do a podcast because the whole challenge for me is being in one place and doing a 30-minute thing. It sounds awful. And he said, no, he said, I just do mine whenever I want to. He said, the same thing Russell Brunson does. He said, it can be 3 minutes long. It can be 30 minutes long. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
So just do it. And he said, because I've been doing these podcasts, I'm on Apple and Stitcher and Spotify. And he says, I get people that are contacting me, that are listening to me, that would have never heard me before in completely different markets. And some guy from Japan called me and wants to do this deal to license my stuff. And so I have to give it to John, because even though it's taken me longer than I would like to get it launched, that really lit the fire under me to say there's this whole market that's reached the channel of podcasting that Facebook doesn't. And I just truly would be squandering the content not to repurpose it across as many different places as possible. So now I want a million fans on Instagram. That's my next thing I want to do. And I can do it by having someone take stuff that I'm producing now and handle that channel. Take somebody who's a digital marketer that's handling our perpetual traffic and the new DM podcast, and they're handling all the stuff with the podcast. And that gets me kind of automated out of the, as you said, the clerical administrative work, but gets me lots of benefits. So even if I had never done the intensive, this would be a total.
Yeah. So now that you've got the formula down, I mean, this took you an incredibly long 8 months. You should be able to get 1 million on Instagram in a month, right?
You know, you can if you wanna invest heavily. Probably cost me $200,000. So I spent a total, by the way, I think my total on likes for posts was about $20,000, and my total for likes on the page was $20,000. So an average of between 2 and 4 cents a like. So I spent $40,000 to get 1 million likes. That's not bad. Instagram seems, because I've been kind of testing it, seems significantly harder because people leave a lot more frequently, whereas on Facebook, they kind of like you and then they stay. Right. On Instagram, you know, you can get 25 likes one day or 100 likes one day and then lose 25 or 100 the next day. So it's a fickle crowd over there.
Yeah. But, and let's say that the revenue from all the things you explained a couple minutes ago was to cut out today, the bottom dropped out. You still did what? $1 million to $2 million in revenue from a $40,000 investment.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's not too bad an ROI.
Exactly. Yeah. And it also, it got me, I did, two of those intensives in the, so I tested, I started in the digital marketing space, but I wanted to also see, one of my scale strategies is to verticalize. So I wanted to go into verticals. So I called our buddy Frank Kern and said, you know, let's try it with your consultants. So Frank and I did two of them in Las Vegas, same results. I talked to my business partner in real estate worldwide for real estate investors, Kent Clothier, said, let's do it in the real estate space. We did two of those, same results. I've got one coming up in 2 weeks. Mike Koenigs and I are going to try one to the publishing space. So it's fun to, you know, to take something that works in one space and then move it over to the other. So I also got to kind of see that this works in lots of different markets, and then also gets me closer to Frank and closer to Kent and Mike and the other people I do that with.
Sure. Great. Well, that's fantastic. Any closing thoughts, or have we covered everything?
I think we've got it. It's the big takeaway to me would be, whatever you want to do, figure out how to, if you wanted to take a systems approach to it, it's like, my end goal is X, and here's the process and all the steps to get to X, and then figure out all the steps that get you to X that you don't think you're going to do, or that are going to stop you or hold you up in any way, and cut them out. Figure out how you can remove all the friction, because if you can do that in anything that you're doing, you're so much more likely to get it done than if it's hard.
Yeah, that was the takeaway for me too, and kind of piggybacks on what Jason Fried of Basecamp has always said. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be done. And if you wait for it to be perfect or do all those steps, and even once you've eliminated those steps, you don't have to have all the other ones, as small as they may be, done. You just have to start with the easiest. And you clean up as you go along. You just refine it. It's iterative.
Yes. Yeah. Fail and iterate.
That's almost as big as monetize. I'm getting good at this.
It's iterative monetization.
That's right. But it's so important that you know, people who are waiting for everything to gel and fit into place perfectly, life doesn't work that way. And so you waste a lot of time with that.
I think too, like, if you ran into, so let's look at this in an organic kind of scenario. So you're creating, you do the video, and then you're like, okay, I got to edit this to put it up. Well, immediately, that's a stop point. So finding any stop point and say, well, what if I didn't edit it, right? What if I didn't edit it? Or what could I do so that I didn't have to edit it? Which if I had done it backwards and not just stumbled into it, it would have been, well, I've got to edit this. Gosh, if I had just waited to the end of the conversation and did kind of takeaway, then I wouldn't have to edit it. So that'll save me.
Bear. Yeah.
He's like, it's time to go, Dad.
I think that brings us to an end.
It does.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Let me cut it off.